It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Wolf Manesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that some
Colbert.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in. Thanks for being here. A Tuesday edition of the show underway. I am your host, Colbert. Inside the Shirley Street studio, it is March 22nd of 2022. And as always, a lot to get to in what is the power hour of sports talk radio in the Cedar Valley and throughout eastern Iowa. However you are tuned in, whether it's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Really appreciate it. Follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColbert, and like the Facebook page. Type in 1650102.3 The Fan. You'll see it pop up. Hammer that like button. Your Facebook experience will improve immediately. I guarantee it. Check out the all-new website, 1650thefan.com. That's where you get the podcast of this show. That's where you can listen to Waterloo Blackhawks Minutes on Demand. That's where you can get all sorts of great local and statewide sports content. Bookmark it and put it into your rotation of your regular stops on the World Wide Web on a daily basis. You will not regret it. Number to dial, 319-277-1918 if you want to join in with any questions or comments for today's show. 319-277-1918 or 800-913-9479. You could also email the show. Any questions or comments or maybe something or someone you would like to hear on a future show, by all means, fire away. Email address is cole@1650thefan.com. As always, we'll lead it off in a few short moments with area sports news and scores. Plenty to get to today. After we're done there, we take the first time out, get you a CBS Sports Flash, VSiN Action Update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Las Vegas, as well as forecast for the rest of this wet Tuesday, looking into tomorrow and Thursday. We'll come back from that first break, and David Eicholt, our friend from HawkeyeInsider.com, set to join us as he does quite often on Tuesdays in our second segment. You follow David on Twitter at David Eicholt, and we got to break it all down. What was a tough week for Iowa men's and women's basketball fans as the Iowa men went down in the first round of the NCAA tournament last Thursday. That feels like so long ago, but you know, it's just one of those things where it's there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot of meat on that bone, if you will, on all the different reasons why or why not that game turned out the way it did. Did playing four games in 4 days at the Big Ten Championship affect Iowa? Is that a viable excuse if you want to go ahead and just jump right to, well, your excuse making already, Cole? Like I said, there's a lot of different ways to look at that Iowa loss last Thursday, and then the Iowa women's loss on Sunday. What a heartbreaker that was. Caitlin Clark just could not get it going against that Creighton defense, particularly in the second half where she was held scoreless. And Monica Sinano, I mean, she just looked like she ran out of gas in what became what was a really good performance by her. But outside of those two, Lisa Bluter's team just not able to generate any offense. And so with you know, that entire team set to return next season, and obviously, rightfully so, expectations going to be incredibly high. Does Lisa Bluter maybe, you know, zig when she would usually zag and go into the transfer portal? And I'm going to ask David the question, you know, very similar. I think that this Iowa women's basketball team, with what it returns, now, if you can follow me here, because I joke about it all the time whenever the NBA comes up on this show, because I know there's not very many NBA fans in the state of Iowa. But if you know anything about the Golden State Warriors and Steph Curry, I mean, if there's any guy besides LeBron James you should know in the NBA, it's Steph Curry. And part of the reason that Steph Curry and the Warriors have been able to win the championships that they have is he has a two-guard that plays next to him in Klay Thompson, albeit he's been injured the past couple of years, a la they haven't won championships. But Klay Thompson doesn't need the ball to be lethal on offense. And if you can find Caitlin Clark's Klay Thompson, I think the conversation becomes very real for this Iowa women's basketball team to be title contenders next season. So that'll be a part of the conversation when David Eichold of HawkeyeInsider.com joins us in the second segment. The next segment here of today's show, we'll break down Iowa men's and women's basketball. And if time permits, I mentioned this week before last, I want to say, that we're getting into spring football season. We've had a little bit of audio for you from Matt Campbell, I know, on Maximum Mornings with Mark Simpson. You hear him weekdays 6 to 8. And some of the players, too. Iowa State getting an earlier start than the Hawkeyes or Panthers on their spring ball. But we'll ask David, if time permits, like I said, about any Iowa spring football headlines as the Hawks open it up this week, as do the Panthers. And after we're done with David, we take the timeout near the bottom of the hour. Get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim. We come back from that break, and we'll hear audio from UNI Football's Pro Day yesterday. I went to that yesterday afternoon at the Unidome, spoke with Mark Farley, got an exclusive interview with Coach, and then also have audio from Trevor Penning and Isaiah Weston. Trevor Penning, of course, we've talked plenty about Trevor on the show. UNI's All-American left tackle widely projected to be a first-round pick in the upcoming NFL draft, and that would be a program record for the Panthers. Currently, Brad Meester holds the program record. Brad had a long NFL career, largely with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and was selected in the second round at 60 overall. So near the end of the second round is the highest ever UNI Panther drafted. David Johnson, a third-round pick. Spencer Brown, a third-round pick. So history is about 5 weeks away from being made, as long as nothing derails Trevor Penning's, you know, lead up to that NFL draft. So we'll hear from Trevor. We'll hear from Isaiah Weston, the outstanding, tall, long, incredible athlete of a receiver that spent 6 years at UNI, got a medical redshirt after an ACL injury, came back after the COVID season. I'm not sure how much his advanced age might impact his draft stock, but Mark Farley told me yesterday that he's heard he's potentially a day two selection. When I had mentioned, you know, what's his chances of being a day three guy, and more so thinking that he'll just be a priority undrafted free agent. So after what Weston did at the NFL Combine, because he did get a Combine invite along with Trevor Penning, something to keep an eye on, Panther fans. Isaiah Weston, where he might end up in the NFL draft. It's a draft that's deep in wide receivers, and they're all fast. Isaiah Weston among them. He ran a 4.42 at the NFL Combine, but not so many of the bigger-bodied receivers in that 6'3-plus range that Isaiah Weston is in. So perhaps that helps his case quite a bit. But we'll talk some football today, spring football. It's just like that. It's just sprinkles on top of your sports cake right now, as we know the cake itself is March Madness, right? And the sprinkles on top are spring football, and I'm all here for it. So that's the plan on today's show. After we're done hearing from Mark Farley, Trevor Penning, and Isaiah Weston in the third segment, we'll take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update. Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary. We'll come back and wrap up the show. All right, let's dive right in here. Some of the Metro track and field teams in action right now at an indoor meet at Wartburg College. Metro schools competing include Waterloo West and the Waterloo Columbus boys teams, as well as the Cedar Falls and Columbus girls teams. Action got underway earlier this afternoon at 3 o'clock. After a two-year hiatus due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the Eastern Iowa All-Star Games prep basketball event is returning and will take place tomorrow night at Kirkwood Community College's Johnson Hall in Cedar Rapids. The event is a girl-boy doubleheader that begins at 6 p.m. Area players on the girls' north team include Denver's Reese Johnson, Jessup's Amanda Treptow, Sumner Fredericksburg's Morgan Brandt, and Nashua Plainfield's Brianna Hackman. Area athletes competing for the north on the boys' side: Trey Campbell of Cedar Falls, Jaden Mackey of Applington Parkersburg, Carson Lienau of Jessup, Kaylor Hoffer of Denver, Michael Caskell of Independence, and Gunnar Meyer of Wapsie Valley. After 4 months of not having an official team name, the Mason City School District has a new mascot, the Riverhawks. The name was officially announced by the school during last night's board meeting, the name being the most favored found through a survey conducted among students, staff, and faculty. The name replaces the Mohawks, which was retired in November after nearly 100 years. Drake rallied to beat UNI 62-55 in the second round of the women's NIT last night. It was the third win for the Bulldogs over the Panthers this season. The score was tied at 28 at halftime. UNI was up by two going into the final quarter, but the Bulldogs went on a 9-0 run in that final quarter, and the Panthers could not claw back. Cam Finley led a balanced UNI scoring attack with 11. UNI ends its season at 23-11. Shout out to Carly Rucker for an outstanding career, and a couple other Panthers, senior Panthers, and Nicole Krager and Bree Gunnels. Really good careers by all three. Carly Rucker, she did a lot of rewriting of the record books, so wanted to make sure to point that out. UNI football has found its new defensive coordinator, Randall McCray, who was most recently linebackers coach at FIU last season and spent 4 years prior to that in the NFL as the Arizona Cardinals special teams coach. McCray has previous experience as defensive coordinator at Texas State, Gardner-Webb, and Middle Tennessee. UNI begins its spring practices this Thursday, March 22nd, and opens its season on Saturday, September 3rd, at Air Force. Two members of the UNI softball team have been honored by the Missouri Valley Conference for their play this past weekend. Panthers redshirt junior Cameron Schaefer has been named Player of the Week, while freshman Maya Dodge was honored as Newcomer of the Week. Last weekend, the Panthers swept Southern Illinois in a three-game series to open conference play. Schaefer hit two home runs, drove in seven, and batted .556. Dodge hit .500 with three doubles and a homer, and knocked in three. Iowa's Caitlin Clark and Keegan Murray have each been named a finalist for the Naismith Player of the Year Awards. Clark led the nation in points per game, assists per game, total assists, total points, free throws made, triple doubles, and 30-point games. She is the only women's basketball player to lead the country in both assists per game and points per game in a single season. Murray ranks first in the country in player efficiency rating and was fourth in points per game. His 23.6 per game average was tops among players from a Power 6 conference. Murray was the only player nationally to average 23-plus points, 8-plus rebounds, and 2-plus blocks per game this season. Spring practice for the Iowa football team starts tomorrow. It will culminate with the open spring practice that fans can attend at Kinnick Stadium on Saturday, April 23rd. One of the big questions heading into this spring and next season, who's going to be the starting quarterback? Spencer Petras, Alex Padilla, or freshman Joey Labus? The Hawkeyes are coming off a 10-4 season, which included winning the Big Ten West. Iowa opens its 2022 season at home September 3rd against South Dakota State. The Iowa baseball team rallied to defeat St. Thomas 6-4 yesterday in Iowa City. Trailing 4-2, the Hawkeyes erupted for four runs in the seventh inning to take the lead for good. Iowa improves to 10-8 on the season. Hawkeyes are scheduled to host Grandview tomorrow afternoon at Duane Banks Field. The Wartburg baseball team hosted Martin Luther in a non-conference double dip yesterday in Waverly. Knights won both games 15-3 and 15-0, raising their record to 10-7. Wartburg opens up American Rivers Conference play on Friday when it hosts Co. And, of course, no one saw this Iowa State men's basketball team coming. Last year, the Cyclones won just two games, went 0-18 in the Big 12. And this year's team, a 20-win improvement, is one of the best NCAA Sweet 16 storylines you'll find this week. The 11th-seeded Cyclones play 10-seed Miami in the Midwest Region semifinal in Chicago this Friday night. Seven of the nine top Cyclone players in minutes played weren't even on the roster last season. First-year coach T.J. Otzelberger has implemented a system that relies on strong defense, and the Cyclones have given up only 103 points in their two tournament games. You can hear all the coverage of Iowa State basketball Friday night right here on The Fan. Pregame show at 7:45. Tip-off 8:45 to 9-ish. And make your plans accordingly. The Iowa State women's basketball team now knows who it will be playing in its Sweet 16 game following the conclusion of the second round last night in the women's NCAA tournament. Starting times have been set for the next round. The third-seeded Cyclones are scheduled to take on 10-seed Creighton at 8:30 Friday night in Greensboro, North Carolina. Iowa State is making its first appearance in the Sweet 16 since 2010. All right, let's take this time out. CBS Sports Flash, VSiN Action Update, and Forecast all coming your way. On the other side, we break it all down. The Iowa men's and women's basketball season. Might even talk a little Iowa spring football. That's all next with David Eichold of HawkeyeInsider.com. You're listening to a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
Well, the Bucs got a big boost from Tom Brady's return, and now Leonard Fournette is back as well, getting a three-year deal worth $21 million in all. The Vikings have reportedly signed Za'Darius Smith to a three-year deal that could reach as much as $47 million. The Bucs are back home after splitting a four-game road trip and will host the Bulls, who are coming off a win last night. Giannis Antetokounmpo is expected back after sitting out Saturday's loss in Minnesota. Pat Connaughton returned over the weekend after missing more than a month and said they need to use the remainder of the season to clean things up.
I think for us, it's about making sure we're getting back in rhythm, and we're using these last 10 games to be attentive to detail, to play together, to play with different lineups. We're going to be big sometimes, we're going to be small sometimes. How do we play differently with both of those lineups, but how do we continue to stay true to our principles?
The Warriors and Magic open the quartet of games tonight in Orlando. Another job has been filled with Missouri naming Cleveland State's Dennis Gates its new head coach. And the Blue Jays and Matt Chapman avoid arbitration. The recently acquired Gold Glove winning third baseman gets a two-year deal worth $25 million. I'm Rich Acker.
It's Bill Ryder. CBS Sports Radio has moved to SiriusXM channel 158. Or listen to us on your local affiliate. Find your station at odyssey.com/stations.
CBS Sports Radio. Don't miss all the shining moments of March. Listen to the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament right here on The Fan.
Let me ask you a question. What do you see when you look at your car? Do you just see taillights? Or your dog's tail wagging when you first brought him home? Do you see four tires or two tired kids in the back seat after their first day of school?
Other insurance companies just see a car. But at Brad Jacobson State Farm, we see what your car really means to you. So why not give it the protection it deserves? Call Brad Jacobson State Farm today in Cedar Falls at 277-4134.
Meet Linda. Hello. Linda just bought a smart home hub and was ecstatic to see her grandkids on their weekly chats. However, this grandma spends most of her time troubleshooting across time zones. Fortunately for Linda, technical support is right down the road. With CFU Wi-Fi, our highly trained technician will install a new Wi-Fi system and connect all of her devices. Now, Linda can chat with her family and ask about their week instead of her password. CFU Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi made simple.
Spring is here. That means it's time to cheer on your favorite team. While you're at it, why not update your flooring to enjoy for years to come? Simpson Floor Covering has a wide variety of carpets, luxury vinyl planks, and so much more. Whether it's one room or your whole home, we're here to guide you through the process. Our showroom is located at 6027 University Avenue,
hey David,
right next to iTech, between Kohl's and the College Square Mall in Cedar Falls. Visit us online at SimpsonFloorCovering.com.
Yeah, no worries. About 90 seconds.
This is Brian Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Heads up, sports bettors. Right now you can try VSiN All Access free for 30 days with no credit card required. Visit VSiN.com/freemonth to sign up now. Here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Top-seeded Gonzaga still the favorite heading into the Sweet 16, plus 225. Arizona and Kansas each at plus 500 behind them. Houston plus 800 and Purdue at plus 900. Phil Mickelson will not compete in next month's Masters in what would have been his 30th Masters start. The announcement came Monday. Mickelson had been at plus 10,000 odds. John Rahm, the odds-on favorite at plus 850, followed by Colin Morikawa at plus 1100. Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas each at plus 1200. NBA tonight, the Bulls on the road against the Bucks. Chicago, a 6-point road underdog. 231 the set total, 7 p.m. tip off.
I'm Trey Westerberg, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Scattered rain showers likely tonight, otherwise cloudy skies. Lows level off around 39. Northerly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Scattered rain showers again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 44. Cloudy skies expected. Lows dip down to about 32. Tomorrow night, chance for mixed precipitation. A dusting of snow tomorrow night through Thursday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 50.
You're listening to Cole and Company with Colbert, afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
Oh, crank it up. Dire Straits always makes your day better. Welcome back. Tuesday edition of the show continues, and we welcome in our guy, David Eicholt of HawkeyeInsider.com on a Tuesday edition, and we got to break down what was obviously a disappointing week for Iowa men's and women's basketball. Obviously, both teams had great seasons, but, you know, I mean, only one team gets to end the season in both respective sports with a win. So, David, I mean, keeping that in mind, I think that's a good place to start the conversation today.
Hey, Cole, good to be talking to you. No doubt. It's disappointing, I think, in Buffalo to start with. And, you know, I wrote a column about it right after, Cole, and I still stand by it. It was a sour taste in every Iowa fan's mouth, I think. But at the same time, I still think it's very important to appreciate what that team accomplished, given the super low expectations this year. Big Ten tournament championship, 26 wins, tied for second most in school history. But, you know, in sports and life, Cole, as circumstances change, expectations change as well. And I think you look at the way Iowa played over the last month and a half of the season, and you look at the way the region was set up for them. Cole, I mean, it's the reality is it was a letdown. And I think you can appreciate the season they had and everything, but still come to that conclusion and be able to separate the two things. And the impact I think it has, Cole, more than anything else, is I don't know how Iowa fans get excited about the tournament anymore. And what I mean by that is not that they can't be excited about making it and everything, but they aren't going to be excited about expectations anymore. And I think it's almost impossible for Iowa fans to have expectations when it comes to the NCAA tournament, because I think I said it to you, whether we were texting or it was on the air, Cole, if they were going to break the Sweet 16 drought, this was the year. They were playing their best basketball, some of the best in the country. The region was set up for them. That little pod, I guess, so to say, was set up for them to make a run. And it just didn't happen. So I think overall, Cole, the last 5 or 6 days, maybe even 4 days, just for Iowa athletics in general, is probably as demoralizing as, at least since I remember being here, and maybe longer than that.
Yeah, you talk about the epitome of the roller coaster ride of February and March, and, you know, both men's and women's teams were on it. But to your point, David, about the fan base and perhaps a lack of excitement going forward about making an NCAA tournament. And, you know, I think you can actually take a little bit of enjoyment out of this is it in hearing you talk. It reminds me of my experience as a Chicago Bears fan. And, it, you know, you go back to when the Bears made the Super Bowl in 2006. And at that point, yep. you know, your sports naivety is higher because I'm a teenager. And, you know, you don't want to – there's a difference between being naive and being jaded. I don't think I'm jaded about the Iowa Hawkeyes here. I'm trying to sympathize with the fan base where I think it's fair if you're going to characterize a lot of these fans now is basically numb. Where you're like, okay, it's great.
Yeah.
We've seen these accomplishments before. We have not seen the Sweet 16 accomplishment. We have not seen the Final Four run. And I'm over here as a Bears fan going, yeah, like, you know, you can kind of not completely fluke your way into making it to a Super Bowl. You can get your way into the playoffs. We've seen that now with expanded playoffs. But, you know, until you really fix some things that don't meet the eye, and I'm not here to say what those may or may not be, it's going to be hard. Sure. It's going to be hard for them to be emotionally all in.
I think, Cole, and this is going to rub salt in the wound, but this is the reality of it. Iowa has had three straight National Player of the Years, in my opinion. Maybe you could argue yeah. Oscar Tshiebwe this year from Kentucky, and I'm going to listen to you because he's one of my favorite players to watch in the country from Kentucky, okay? That has resulted in one NCAA tournament win. Granted, the first one, the whole tournament was canceled. So, like, throw that out of the equation, though, sure. right? But the other side of it, Cole, Iowa State's made three Sweet 16s under three coaches. Otzelberger went there this year, two wins to a Sweet 16. And Iowa fans, from an Iowa fans perspective, France 12th year, they haven't made a Sweet 16 yet. That's what I think is driving them crazy. Not that it's a big brother versus little brother thing or comparing it to Iowa versus Iowa State, but seeing the quick turnaround and what Otzelberger's done, then you look at what Iowa has just as far as talent, the way they were playing. Mm-hmm. The reality is, and I don't blame Iowa fans for thinking like this, Cole, it's a curse at this point that Iowa hasn't made it back because they've had teams that I think were capable of getting back to that and to repeatedly come up short. Like you said, I think numb is a very, very good way to sum it up.
You know, I do want to say this, though, that I thought Richmond had a good game plan. They've got a good coach. It's a veteran team. And as cliche as some of that stuff might sound, that makes for a dangerous group, a group that whatever they might lack in talent, they can make up in wit and you know, kind of outfox a team like Iowa. And, I mean, ultimate tip of the cap to Jacob Gilliard, Richmond's point guard, locked up J-Bo. And, you know, it really kind of made, because J-Bo was doing a lot in terms of, you know, initiating offense and making sure that the offense wasn't getting stale when he wasn't initiating it with his off the ball movement. And I thought it was a great game plan by Richmond to play that game at their pace, and they were able to. And also, you know, Gilliard was just incredible defensively.
He was, Cole. And, you know, I want to make sure I phrase this properly without to take away anything from Richmond and throw Iowa under the bus, but I do think this is what it looked like to me at one point. Cole, I really think, and this takes nothing away from Richmond and what they did, especially Gilliard, because like you said, he was a stud that game. I really think that Iowa overlooked Richmond and we're looking into the second round. And I think once they realized they were starting to do that, I think it was a little too late. Mm-hmm. I also think Iowa was still tired from the Big Ten tournament, and they're still coming off that high, and that adrenaline really wore off. A lot of their shots were left short. Richmond is quicker to the ball, and it just looked like a shell of an Iowa team that we had seen over the past 6 weeks, especially over that past week in Indianapolis. And I do think that this is going to raise some bigger questions about if the Big Ten tournament needs to find a way to move. I don't think contractually or anything it's going to end up happening, but it reminded me, Cole, of Illinois last year against Loyola Chicago.
Yeah. Yep.
The way both teams celebrated, the way both teams were tired, the games went extremely similar. That's exactly what it reminded me of. Right now, Cole, it's a curse to win the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, and, you know, I can hear the Iowa State fan or the UNI fan out there in the audience right now going, I don't want to hear your excuses, but here's the thing. If you're the Big Ten, you want to do what's best for your institutions to go as far as possible in the tournament, because that means more revenue sharing will happen within your conference. And, yep. and that's the goal for these conferences. So, If you think you can improve your chances as a conference to have more success in the tournament, I'd like to think that's a conversation worth having, and people just don't dismiss it as, well, that's just some recency bias excuse making by Hawk fans and Illinois fans who are sour.
No, and again, I think you have to go back to it. Just comes down to execution. And, you know, the reality is, too, when you talk about, I loved how you brought Jacob Gilliard, and this takes nothing away from Jordan Bohan. I've been a believer that there needs to be a conversation if they want his number retired, because it's one of the more unique careers, not just in Big Ten history, but college basketball history. But, Cole, guard play and defense wins you games in March. Gilliard was elite in that game. And right when he struggled against Providence, that's why they got their butt kicked. So great guard play. Iowa struggling from deep. And I think Iowa fatigue. And that's not an excuse, because Richmond still had to execute, but they executed. And I tweeted after the game that Richmond earned it. But, Cole, I have to bring this up, and I'm remiss to bring it up, but it has to be said. Chris Murray was absolutely mugged on that three-pointer with a minute left. I'm not saying Iowa wins,
right?
But that is a call that is so inexcusable, and that cannot ever happen in the NCAA tournament, let alone any game. Again, I think Richmond still wins the game, but the way that game ends goes completely different as far as late-game execution, what has to happen.
Well, I mean, I'm in the bunker here every day in the Shirley Street studio, and Dan Patrick and Jim Rome, all of our syndicated shows, they talked about officiating in the NCAA tournament. I mean, it's been a point of conversation. I talked about it a little bit yesterday in my monologue, where it's just like, we can't have this crap continue on where in the summer the rules committee meets and there's all these points of emphasis, and we see it for half or two-thirds of non-conference play, and then right as conference play draws near, it's like, well, hit the big red button. Let's just go back to how we always call these games. No, and I don't know if that takes, you know, making – you always hear the NFL talk about, well, make them full-time and then have them putting in study and work like that, because, you know, John Hollywood Higgins runs a roofing company in Omaha. That's his full-time job, you know? So it's part of you wants to go, man, refs, get it together. While there's two sides to every coin here, but there's got to be a better way than to continue with this just ridiculous cycle that we know all too well watching these games, where they're calling fouls in November and December that they don't dare call in January and February and March.
Now, Cole, you're a follower of my Twitter account, and I know I'm not one to talk about officiating that much, but I thought I'd just throw in my two cents here.
No. I mean, honestly, I think this is the first time, whether it be by social media or on this show, that officiating's ever come up. So I thought that we had the equity to cash in to talk about the Zebras. So
it's you know, the reality is, I want to give credit to The Athletic, because they put out a statement today via the head of, you know, the NCAA men's officiating. And he said, you know, the biggest problem right now is the level of physicality that teams are bringing. Well, guess what? You can control that.
Yeah.
The referees control that. That's kind of the game. And I think Lisa Bluter summed it up best. It's frustrating when you play 34 games one way and the NCAA tournament comes around and you play it a completely different way. And that is a valid point. That's not an excuse. Mm-hmm. And that has to change for the men's and women's. It really is inexcusable. It's costing teams games down the stretch. Maybe not games, but opportunities down the stretch about how games end.
I tell you what, in that Iowa-Creighton women's basketball game on Sunday, I was waiting for the basketball game to start because the wrestling match started on time. But, and you know, I want to make this point too, that I had made a week or so ago when we were talking a lot of Valley basketball, that whether it be Drake or Loyola, and I'm not criticizing the players or the coaches, they're just, you know, they're doing what they can with what they have. But what I told a bunch of people that were asking me about you and I's struggles against Drake and their struggles against Loyola, it was like, to me, it was like the Legion of Boom defense with Seattle, where it's like, we're going to play so physical that you can't call holding on every play. You can't call pass interference on every play. And I think that is a strategy, essentially, that a lot of teams have gone to, where they go, we're just going to hand check. We're going to put hands in people's backs. We're going to shove when we think we can get away with it. And guess what? They can't call foul on every possession, can they? And they don't.
I'm going to make some enemies by saying this, Cole, but, you know, I'm not one for hot takes. But Caitlin Clark is the worst officiated superstar I've seen in college basketball. the level of grabbing and held that she was and getting knocked to the floor, like you said, it was wrestling. I thought it was the Legion of Boom out there. There were times where I was very surprised Caitlin didn't get teed up or Lisa didn't get teed up because they were visibly upset. And I think when you look at the film, I don't blame them for being that way. It was bad. Now, granted, Caitlin does flop from time to time. That's not going to help her case. But some of these are so egregious that you got to make a call. I mean, you have to. But it's not going to be a one-year fix. Cole, I don't know if it's ever going to be fixed. And I hate throwing these guys under the bus because it is it's an incredibly difficult job that don't think people realize. Mm-hmm. But when the games come down to the highest of stakes, you got to be able to make the calls down the stretch. And you have to unapologetically and confidently make those calls.
Real quickly, to dive back into the basketball part of things, I was kind of pontificating about this in the first segment today as I knew you were going to be on the show. You suppose that Lisa Bluter, because I think that, you know, with Caitlin Clark and Monica Sinano back and that whole team coming back, that a national championship is fairly in the discussion. And I think that the way it becomes even more a part of the discussion is you got to find basically what Klay Thompson is to Steph Curry. You got to find that Klay Thompson in the transfer portal for Caitlin Clark. If you want to get real about winning a national title, you got to find that third piece, make a legit big three, and find an offensive dynamo who doesn't necessarily need the ball in her hands all the time to be a real factor night in and night out for this Hawk team.
I feel like one of those things you put on top of the fireplace, call the birds, and you put the glass of water, and it goes in the glass of water and pop out in its nose, because that's how fast I was just nodding my head, Cole. I couldn't agree with you more. Iowa needs that third score. I don't think nobody but Cezano and Clark scored in the first half till about 90 seconds left. If you can do that, if you can find another big, I think, to really help the rebounding deficiencies, and you get that third score, Cole, I do think that Final Four national championship caliber team is on the table. But until that, I think Elite Eight is going to be right there for them next year as well.
Just a little bit of time left here with David Eichold of HawkeyeInsider.com. Check out the website, subscribe, and follow David on Twitter at David Eichold. Spring football, man. I was saying that it's like the sprinkles on top of the sports cake right now, and I'm all here for it. So beyond the quarterback competition, is there anything else really going on here with the Hawks?
You know, I'll say this. Cody Ince, who was going to be a starter for Iowa, he has left the football team on the offensive line. I'm curious who makes up Tyler Linderbaum in the middle. Logan Jones has now flipped from defensive line to offensive line. That worked out pretty well last time Iowa did that with Linderbaum.
Yep.
So I'll say watch that and watch who replaces Zach Van Valkenburg. I think if they can get that D-line really steady and if somebody can step up for Dane Belton in that cash position, Cole, I do think that Big Ten West title is going to be on the line. I think they can be in contention for it. Obviously, like you said, the quarterback play a big part. But this is the most storyline-riddled Iowa spring football since I started covering the beat 5 years ago. This is going to be a lot of fun, and there's a lot of good talent, a lot of position battles, and there's certainly a lot of intrigue about this next year's team.
Can't wait to read your coverage, David. And just to end on some good vibes, think about this. We never have to watch Brad Davison play college basketball again.
Oh, that's great. Honestly, I thought you were going Devontae Adams on me, so you for going with Brad Davison. Thank you for not taking that low blow.
That's next week, all right? I'll have that one dialed up for you next week. In the meantime, though, no more of Grayson Allen Jr. That we have to watch.
Watch him be on the Wisconsin coaching staff next year, Cole. Just wait.
I tried in on good vibes, and then why are you doing that?
Well, I don't know. No, maybe he can trip. Maybe he won't trip anybody when he's on the sideline on the coaching staff.
He'll say, "Here, Juwan Howard."
Don't put Juwan Howard by him. That might end badly.
Here, Juwan Howard, hold my beer. I'll show you how a coach really intervenes. All right, David, I got to run, man. Great stuff. Thanks for joining me.
I appreciate you, Cole. Take care, buddy.
David Eichold, HawkeyeInsider.com, kind enough to join us on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. As I mentioned, follow him on Twitter at David Eichold. And a great time to subscribe to HawkeyeInsider.com. As Iowa spring football is here, and as David told you, just absolutely loaded with storylines as the Hawks get it going on tomorrow. Yeah, Panthers start spring ball on Thursday. Hawkeyes start tomorrow. All right, let's take this time out. Radio Iowa Sports coming up. On the other side of the break, we'll hear from Trevor Penning, the UNI All-American left tackle. UNI had its pro day yesterday, and all 32 teams were represented with scouts at the Unidome. It was quite the scene. We'll also hear audio from Isaiah Weston, UNI's big athletic wide receiver, who very well could be an NFL draft selection, as well as Mark Farley, the coach. So that's all next on this Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. We'll come on back right after this.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. 31 NFL teams are represented at Iowa State's Pro Day, and it was another chance for Breece Hall to impress. After running a sub-4.4 in the 40 at the scouting combine, the Cyclone running back showed off his ability to catch passes. He says running routes allowed him to display his versatility.
It's the most important because this league is becoming a passing game, and you have to be able to catch the ball. You're going to be a one-dimensional back. So I just feel like being able to be a three-down back is the most important in this game today.
Hall could be the first running back selected in next month's NFL draft. The Dort women's basketball team will take on Thomas More of Kentucky in the title game tonight at the NAIA Championships in Sioux City. The defenders have never made it to the round of 16 before this season. The Iowa State women will tip off against Creighton at 8:30 Friday night in the Sweet 16 in Greensboro, North Carolina. Todd Kim, Radio Iowa Sports.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
To buy your home, you became a house hunting ace. Learned about loans, scoured neighborhoods, and asked the right questions. Now you're queen of your castle. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. With 401k tips and smart saving strategies, you'll feel empowered to own your retirement like you own your home. Go to aceyourretirement.org. Because when it comes to clearing financial hurdles, you're an ace. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
I'm Jason Horowitz with a March Madness update, sponsored by Geico. This year's bracket found its Cinderella candidate when the 15th-seeded St. Peter's Peacocks beat 2nd-seeded Kentucky in the first round. Saturday, they advanced to the Sweet 16 with a win over Murray State, and now they head to Philadelphia, just 90 miles from campus, for an East Region matchup with Purdue. Hear Westwood One's exclusive coverage of the NCAA tournament right here.
Enjoy March matchups like never before with BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Sign up using bonus code ALLEYOOP and your first wager is risk-free up to $1,000. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older and present in Iowa to wager. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credits. Free bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Moments like making my kids my famous meatballs mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for postmenopausal women or for men with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Welcome back to Cole and Company with Colbert on your home for Cubs baseball, 1650 The Fan and 102.3 FM.
Yeah, that's right. Cubs baseball returns to the Fan. Let me see here. It'd be with spring training games. We got a pair of spring training games that we're going to air beginning on Sunday, April 3rd, and then on Tuesday, April 5th. And then it'll be opening day regular season baseball on Thursday, April 7th, as the Cubs will host the Milwaukee Brewers. That's a 12:45 pregame for that one. Make sure and go to the broadcast calendar at 1650thefan.com. That's where you can get the lowdown on all of our Cubs broadcasts and all of our non-regular broadcasts as far as it relates to games on the air. All right, UNI football held its annual pro day at the Unidome yesterday afternoon with scouts from all 32 teams in attendance. That 100% attendance among NFL franchises due to former UNI left tackle All-American Trevor Penning, who's projected as a first-round selection, which would break the Panthers program record for its highest ever drafted player.
Having the attention from all 32, that's, you know, really, really awesome honor. So, you know, hopefully I showed them what they wanted to see and go from there.
That is Trevor Penning, and he didn't participate in a number of events at that pro day yesterday because, well, he registered a 4.89 40-yard dash, 28-inch vertical jump, 111-inch broad jump, 7.25-second three-cone, and a 4.62 20-yard shuttle at the NFL Combine earlier this month. He only ended up participating in the bench press yesterday, along with agility and positional drills.
Just choice. I mean, doing the Combine already, I think, you know, I wanted to come in here and really focus on doing the position drills along with the bench.
He put up 29 reps on the bench press, a great number for among all offensive linemen. And the Clear Lake native's workout only continued to solidify his chances as a top 32 pick. And when asked about what it took to get into this position that he finds himself in, he reflected on the work that was done behind the scenes throughout his career at UNI.
You know, really just the amount of work we put in, the amount of work that me and my teammates really put in over the years, and you know, double day lifting, extra work after practice, the 180s we have right on this turf, all that fun stuff. It helped me tremendously. That's why I'm where I'm at right now, is because of all that work that, you know, Jed Smith did with us, Farley, Coach Clanton, all the coaches, just all that really, you know, translated onto the field today and my whole career.
Penning admits that he already misses college football, but this opportunity he's had to compete against the other top offensive tackles in the lead-up to this year's NFL draft has kept him hungry.
I wouldn't say the competition really left. I'm still competing against, you know, the other top tackles in this class and top players in this draft. I mean, down in Frisco, I'm going against, you know, there's a lot of guys down there who are going to be also high draft picks, hopefully. And, you know, I don't think the competition really ever left me. I think that's how you get better. It's just that iron, you know, iron sharpens iron is kind of what always stuck to me in my head. And, you know, I think competition's how I've gotten to where I'm at today.
Shouldn't be a surprise. Penning confirmed that he's spoken to representatives from all 32 NFL teams, and he'll play for anybody.
Anywhere that wants me. Anywhere that, you know, was willing to, you know, take a chance with me and bring me into the program. And, I mean, I'm going to give it my all every day. I'm going to be, you know, a very hardworking individual, and, you know, I'm not going to stop till I believe I'm, you know, at my best, at my potential.
UNI wide receiver Isaiah Weston, running back Bradrick Shaw, tight end Kyle Fortenberry, offensive lineman Antoine Frazier, defensive tackle Jared Brinkman, defensive end Bronte Wells, linebacker Alfonso Lambert Jr., and cornerback Austin Evans also participated at yesterday's pro day. Weston, who was invited and participated in the NFL Combine along with Penning, chose not to participate in the 40-yard dash, vertical jump, broad jump, and bench press yesterday after he had posted a 4.42 40, 40-inch vertical, 135-inch broad jump, and 20 reps on the bench at the Combine. Weston, similar to Penning, participated in agility and positional drills, and after a good workout, spoke about how his time at UNI prepared him for a day like yesterday.
It doesn't matter where you're from, small school, D2, D3. With one of the reporters, it doesn't matter where you start, it's where you finish. So we can play with those guys. We have the guys to do it. So, but wherever opportunity you get to play that football, make the best of it, because you might get that shot, just like me, who did what I did at the combine, and I stood out. So, and I was one who was under the radar. No one wanted to talk to me. Didn't have any formal interviews with the head coaches or anything like that. So, it's just more feel. You gotta be feel efficient. Take the good and the bad, and put in the fire and let it grow.
All right, let's take this final timeout. NFL Network update. Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary. We come back, wrap up the show right after this.
I'm Taylor Bisciotti with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One radio network. It's official. After 14 seasons in Atlanta, Matt Ryan is heading to Indianapolis to be the new starting quarterback for the Colts. In exchange, the Falcons will receive the Colts' third-round pick in this year's draft. Since arriving in Atlanta as the third overall pick in 2008, Ryan earned four Pro Bowl nods, a first-team All-Pro selection, and was named the NFL's MVP in 2016. As for who the Falcons' quarterback will be, they signed Marcus Mariota to a two-year, $18.75 million deal, according to our Mike Garafolo. Mariota has backed up Derek Carr in Vegas the last two seasons. The move reunites Mariota with Coach Arthur Smith, who served as the Titans' offensive coordinator, in Mariota's final season in Tennessee in 2019. That's not all for quarterback news. The Saints are re-signing quarterback Jameis Winston to a two-year deal with a base value of $28 million, $21 million guaranteed. That from NFL Network's Ian Rappaport and Tom Pelissero. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
We hear it everywhere. It's hard to get a new product in almost every industry. I'm Chris Fink with Tubbs R Us, and I have some great news. We have new QCA spas in a variety of colors and styles in stock right now. At Tubbs R Us, you'll get free delivery, plus the lid, lifter, and chemicals you need to enjoy your spa. Stop in today, and you could be relaxing in your new QCA spa right away. We're Tubbs R Us on the corner of Ainsboro and Falls Avenue in Waterloo.
This is your Cyclone weather alert.
Coons fires a three way out right. Yes, sir! Jazz Coons hits the three, and the Cyclones lead it by 10. Iowa State defeats Wisconsin 54-49.
Lock your radio to the Fan Friday night as Iowa State is in Chicago to take on Miami in the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament. Pregame coverage at 7:45. Tip off at 8:45.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. The Indianapolis Colts have been in the market for a quarterback for some time now. Colts were spoiled in the early 2000s. The team went from Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck, but the luck in Indy has run out in a variety of ways. The Colts have had a competitive roster for years. The only problem is the team has had a different veteran starting quarterback every year since 2018. That streak could be over. Indianapolis acquiring Matt Ryan from the Falcons yesterday, the former league MVP. Not the elite signal caller he once was, certainly back in 2017, but he's a proven veteran. And over the years, it's been easy to blame Indy's lack of postseason success on QB issues. But the addition of Ryan won't give the Colts that excuse anymore. Indy has an elite offensive line, great running game, top-tier defense. If the Colts can't win with that, it could be time for the team to officially put an end to their veteran quarterback approach and maybe start looking for a signal caller through the draft. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. And now a message from Discover about customer service and common sense. When you have credit card questions, it's nice to have them answered by a real live person. You know, a human being who's actually understanding your issues and works to resolve them. Someone with a knack for helping others and has a pulse. In other words, what you don't need is a robot. And that's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. It's live customer service. Discover. Exceptionally common sense.
Near historically low mortgage rates may not last forever. If you're in the market for a new home or your dream home, go with a lender you can count on. For competitive rates, over 300 loan products and thousands of loan consultants to help make sure you get the home and the mortgage that you want. Call now to see if you're pre-approved. 866-888-LOAN. 866-888-LOAN. Or go to loandepot.com. Loan Depot, where home means everything. Rates are subject to change. Equal housing opportunity lender. NMLS number 174457. Licensed in all 50 states.
Welcome back to Cole & Company with Colbert on 1650 The Fan and the 1650 The Fan mobile app and streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
Welcome back for a final time on this Tuesday. I want to thank David Eichold of HawkeyeInsider.com for joining today's show. Hey folks, this hockey season, give an assist to local charities. Contribute to the 1650 campaign. It's presented by Slumberland Furniture, the Waterloo Blackhawks, and us here at The Fan. Each month, we tell you the story of a different Cedar Valley organization doing good in the community and ask for donations of $16.50 at waterlooblackhawks.com or whatever you can spare. This month's featured organization is the Hewsome Strong Foundation. Your donations will help golfers who have lost a limb to still play and enjoy the game. All right, everybody, that's a wrap on a Tuesday. Thanks so much for being here. Really appreciate it. Listen to Mark Simpson tomorrow morning, Maximum Morning 6 to 8. I'll be back at 5.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.